ask your help, Travis? Would you want to pass out these, one to each person? Thank you. Some scriptures there that I looked up. I don't know if I'll use them all or not, but be passing out. My text for this morning is Romans 12. While we're looking that up, in the announcements, I forgot to mention, thanks to everyone who came to the parsonage on Monday evening. We got all the stuff done that we intended to, and many thanks to each who lent a hand. And so Romans 12, I'll be reading the whole chapter, and also just before I start, we were finally able to get our fields at our place worked up, and my renter, he asked me to work the field. He paid me in advance, so that a little bit of trusting on his part. But you know, it made me think about, you know, Jesus Christ has paid for our salvation in advance, and when we accept that gift of salvation, we are expected to live our lives for Him and to do the work that He intends for us to do. And along the same lines, you know, these analogies, at some point they always fall apart. But Kim expected me to do what he paid me for. And so when we accept this gift of salvation from Christ, we are expected. There are things that are expected of us. So anyway, so we'll read Romans chapter 12. And I'll ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Dear Lord, we thank you now for this time, and I just pray that as we continue this service, that there will be that once again your Spirit will be felt here among us, and I just pray that that your word will go forth, even though I sometimes stumble and fail. I just pray that somehow you can speak through me in your name. Amen. Okay, as we read that, you know, that sometimes just reading a scripture, if you read it carefully, it pretty much speaks for itself. But you know, in verse 1, they talk about the mercies of God, plural. And what are some of the mercies of God? Do we have anybody want to pipe up? And I've got a couple things written down here, but what are some of the mercies of God?
Forgiveness.
Anybody else? Pardon me? Yes. Any others? Well, the first one I wrote down was love. And that's on that first verse I wrote on the, I suppose I need a copy too, don't I? I gave them all away. Thank you, Travis. Romans 1:7 tells us to all, is part of his salutation, his greeting to the people. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, tells us that we are loved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And forgiveness, we talk about forgiveness, and I didn't write that down specifically, but grace. Grace and forgiveness kind of go together. And righteousness. And in Romans 12:3, it talks about the gift of faith. And I've always thought of as faith something that we need to cultivate ourselves, but according to this, that he gives us the gift of faith. And we sometimes put our faith in the wrong things, but we all put our faith in something. And God has given us that gift to use the faith according to his purposes once we accept him as Savior. And then we're also called to be, let me read Romans 3:21-24. But now the righteousness of God, the gift of righteousness, apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And Romans 12:3 talks about, we've already read that, talks about the measure of faith that is given to us. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And also in verse number 2, let me look here and make sure I'm on the right verse. Verse 1, actually. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I wrote a note here to myself. The Old Testament sacrifices are no longer in effect because of Christ's ultimate sacrifice. Consequently, we are called to offer ourselves completely to God, obedient instruments of service to him. So once we, as I talked about in my little illustration to begin with, once we have made that decision to follow Christ, we are, according to Scripture, according to verse 1 here, We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And what is reasonable service? In light of all the spiritual riches believers enjoy solely as the fruit of God's mercies, it logically follows that they owe God their highest form of service. So have we given ourselves to Christ, our lives, and as it says here, our bodies? Are we living sacrifices to God? Are we doing everything that He, using everything that He has gifted us to His glory? And are we looking for ways to serve? In verse number 2, do not be conformed to this world. Boy, oh boy. As I'm not talking about necessarily this body of believers, but as a church as a whole, the church has been slipping away and being conformed to what the world believes, and losing things along the way. We know that there are a lot of things in the world that are contrary to Scripture, but we find churches embracing, people who call themselves Christians, embracing the ways of the world and rejecting the ways of what we learn in the Word. And we need to be in the Word and to find out what the Word says and live our lives accordingly. And talks about, and also in that verse, the renewing of our minds. How do we renew our minds? And I wrote down through consistent study and meditation of the Scriptures, Philippians 4:8. That's kind of a familiar verse. We've used that one quite a bit lately. I know in some of the things we've had in our home, we kind of concentrated on Philippians 4 for a while. And finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So meditating on these things, I think that means we need to be consistent in our study and meditation on the Scriptures. And Colossians 3:6 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So that the word of God is to dwell in us in all wisdom, teaching and admonish, and to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then we go on to verse 3 through 8. We're talking about the gifts and abilities that have been given to us. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So as a church, it tells us that we are, as a congregation and the church as a whole, we are one body, but each member has different skills and abilities, and as we go through our lives, and as I said before, we need to find out what God has gifted us with and how to use it to His glory. And sometimes it's pretty easy to kind of sit back and think, well, somebody else Somebody else will do that. Somebody else has that gift. But if we don't cultivate the gifts that we've been given, we're not serving Christ as we should. And I know it's, well, I've gone through times in my life where I didn't really want to do anything. And everything was, when I had to serve, it was like, oh, well, I suppose I will. But we're told to behave differently. Then we're going to look through some of the verses. First, I want to read 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he wills. And then I'm going to look at some of the things in verses 9 through 21, just briefly looking at verse 9, tells us to love without hypocrisy. And what does it mean to love without hypocrisy? Sometimes we will want to associate with certain people because it's advantageous to us to be friends or associates with that person. And so we're supposed to love without looking for selfish gain, not to love to further ourselves materially. And verse 10, it says, in honor, giving preference. And let me find verse 10 here again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Does that mean putting others above yourself? We're called to do that. And if you look at it, if everybody behaved that way, what a society we would have here. If you're putting others above yourselves, and that means if you want to think selfishly about that, that means somebody's putting you above themselves. And first and foremost, we serve God, but we also serve those around us. And 11, kind of a tough one, serve with enthusiasm. I've already talked about that a little bit. Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So we do our duties using our gifts and our abilities to serve God rather than to serve ourselves, and to be enthusiastic in our service. Verse 12, patiently persevering in times of trial. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. We all have trials and tribulations in our lives, and it's easy to say, why me? Why have these things happened to me? We can read Job and learn a lot about those kind of things. But we need to continue. We need to continue in faith, even in times of trial. But on the other hand, sometimes when we're facing all these trials, I have found that trials can sometimes drive a person toward God. And sometimes when things are too easy, it pushes us away from God because we don't need Him. That's just a little bit of an aside there. And verse 13, distributing. Be generous to those in need, hospitality, and not to just those who you consider friends or loved ones. It tells us in that verse, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. When I was working at Marvin's here, this has probably happened about 8 or 10 years ago, there was a fellow that I didn't work with, but I had to deal with him every day on some level. And for some reason, he thought I had done him wrong. And I never did really find out exactly what, but he all of a sudden wouldn't talk to me anymore, just would ignore me. And first I thought, well, you know, that's kind of, you know, how do I handle this? Because, you know, I had to somehow figure that out. And I decided that I would just treat him like I always had. When I met him in the aisles at work or whatever, I'd wave and greet him. And if he didn't greet me back, that was up to him, I guess. And it probably took a couple of weeks, but he finally kind of came back around again. And if I had, and thinking back, if I would have treated him the way that he was treating me, that could have went on for months. Who knows if and so I learned something there. And it's to, like it says in verse 14, bless those who persecute you. I wouldn't say he was persecuting me, but he was offended somehow. And in verse number 15, no matter your situation, be sensitive to the joys and sorrows of those around you. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. You know, sometimes we can get pretty caught up in our own difficulties and our own joys or sorrows, and we kind of forget about those around us. But we're told to interact with those who are rejoicing and to sorrow with those who are mourning or weeping. And verse 16 tells us to treat everyone the same. Do not think yourself superior. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So that means don't put yourself above everybody else. Don't be condescending to those around you. Treat everybody with respect and humility. Brett's ready to go home. He says, ride mom home. Okay. Well, Brett keeps me on track. So yeah, just be... you can't be confident in what you do, but don't put yourself above others and say, well, I know better than that person, or be wise in your own opinion. If we have opinions, they should line up with God's word. Just a second here. Yeah, it says, my study here says, set your mind on high things, to be haughty and with self-seeking pride, and wise in your own opinion. Christians are not to have conceit or feelings of superiority toward fellow believers. In verses 17 through 21, I'm going to read those again together, and then I have a little illustration I'm going to close with again. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I may have told this story before. If I haven't told it from up front, I've told it to some of you probably. Now, this was a long time ago, about 20 years ago, I'd say. My mom was still living, and, you know, the first parts of this don't have a lot to do with it, but I was taking her to her sister's in Warroad for Thanksgiving, and I was going to do her a favor and wash her car on the way. This was Thanksgiving Day. So I was going to turn at that car wash on this side of Warroad. And as I was doing so, I had my left turn signal on to make that turn, and the roads had been good all the way up until there. But just as I was slowing down, I realized I was on an icy road, you know, that black ice that you don't see, and the brakes did nothing. So there's traffic coming, there's traffic behind me, and so the decision I made in that moment was to ease over to the right side of the road and just get out of the way. Well, my left blinker was on. So this guy in the pickup comes behind me, and he passes me at a high rate of speed while I was doing this. And obviously he's upset at me for signaling one way and going the other. So I got the one finger salute in the back window from his pickup. And as he was doing that, as this was happening, his pickup starts to fishtail. And he's out of control, and he goes in a ditch. Snow's flying all over. And my first thought was, well, good for him. You know, he got what he deserved. And then I thought, well, that's not really how we should treat one another. So I did, since I was already stopped, I did walk up to where he had gone in the ditch. And I wasn't able to help him in any way physically to pull him out. But I did offer him, or I did give him a few dollars to help with the tow that he was going to have to. And not to set myself up as some person who does the right thing all the time, I certainly don't, but that taught me something. He was apologizing like crazy for what he did, you know, and for, he says, man, I didn't know the roads were icy. I didn't know. I'm sorry. And maybe in some way, if we don't treat people according to how they treat you, maybe we can have an impact on lives and not even know it. So with that, I'm going to close, and I thank you for the opportunity to do this morning, and I just pray that we can find something from these scriptures to apply to our lives. And now, as our church is in a little bit of a different situation with pastor, I think this can tell us to use our talents as God has given them to us in ways that can edify our church, even in times of uncertainty. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the opportunities we have, excuse me, and for the gifts you have given us, for the abilities you've given us, and help us to cultivate those abilities and to use them to serve you and to serve others in our congregation and in our community. I just thank you. Thank you again in your name. Amen. Okay. Turn your hymnals to page number 457. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Page 457.